Good to see everybody and welcome. My name is Travis Gibson and I'm one of the pastors on the team here. And I want to say hello to all of our campuses that are joining us. If you're watching online or you're watching at a later time. And everybody in the room today, I know it's Memorial Day weekend. We may have a lot of visitors and guests and family in town. So let's just clap our hands and welcome everybody. Say hello to our extended church family. It is Memorial Day weekend, and you may have seen if you're in the building here in Point Loma, our flag hanging outside of our building, but it's just a time to honor and remember those that served our country and lost their life serving our country. And so we just want to honor them and say thank you and honor the families as well. So let's just clap our hands for all of those that, as we remember them and we are thankful for their service to our country, for our freedom. I want to encourage you, come back next week, and I'm kind of prepping you for what's ahead. As you saw in the Rock recap, we are sending kids to camp, and we have a lot of kiddos that would love to go, but maybe can't get there financially, and so we're doing everything we can to say, hey, church, let's get behind these kids. And if you've ever been to camp, camp is a game changer for some students. This may be the place where they meet Jesus. It may be the place that God heals them from something that was traumatic in their life. And so I want you to pray about and get ready for a special giving moment that will be next week and be thinking, God, what would you have me do to help get these kids to camp? I can give this much. I may sponsor a child. I may sponsor a few kids and send them. Last service, we had one guy come during worship and say, hey, here's a check. I'm sending a kid to camp. I want to make sure someone's life is changed. So is that good? Will you pray about that? Come on, just clap your hands. Let's thank the Lord for all the kids going to camp this year, and you get to be a part of that. And then starting next week, we're going to do 2 weeks of messaging on dating, singleness, marriage, relationships. By the way, anybody on a church date today? Come on, anybody? Anybody? Good old church date right here in the middle. There you go. Now, she didn't raise her hand, but he did. So, you know, we don't know. It depends on, that's all it's like. I don't know. Are we? I don't, maybe. No, what's the Holy Spirit saying? I'm not sure. You know, always good. A good old church date. Find out, Lord, is he going to make it? We don't know. Glad you're here. We are in our second week of our new series entitled, We Need to Talk. Everybody say, we need to talk. We do. We got to talk about a few things. And we did this last year and we did it again this year. We surveyed all of you and said, hey, what are some of the issues or the problem, the tension points, the felt needs in your life that you're dealing with, that you're struggling with, that you would want the Lord to speak through his word? What does God's word have to say about some of these issues, these topics? And out of that survey came back some results. And at the top of the list was dating, relationships, forgiveness. Anxiety and depression has been a top five pick the last several years and just always kind of on us and in us and just trying to work through that. In a few weeks, we're going to tackle that subject. Last week, though, Pastor Miles talked about the meaning of life. What's the meaning of life? And he took us to God's word in 1 Corinthians 10:31, and it says, and whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. That's the meaning of life. Whatever you end up doing, do it all for the glory of God. At the highest level and in the smallest details of your life, just give God glory. Today, I want to talk to you about your purpose. What is God's purpose for your life? And so would you bow your heads? We're going to need to pray so we can seek God's word and ask him to speak to us. And so Jesus, we do that right now. We come to you and so grateful for your love for us and what you did on the cross. And so because of you, we can gather. We can gather and put our lives in your hands. We ask you, Holy Spirit, Spirit of God, to speak to all of us through your word. Speak through me today. Make us more and more like your son, Jesus, Father. In his name we pray, amen. Amen. When I was in my early 20s, I attended the college young adult ministry here at the Rock Church. It was called 1825. So we weren't trying to hide the fact that it was for 18 to 25-year-olds. Every now and then, A dude that's been growing a beard for the last 17 years, who was 34 years old, would sneak in. But we weren't trying to hide the fact. It was 18 to 25. College young adult ministry. And we would gather weekly and we'd have a message. And at the end of the message, we break up into small groups, have discussion time. In fact, my wife and I, it's kind of how we met. And we were leading a group together. And then at the end of the discussion time, we'd take prayer requests. Right, any prayer request. And the top two, look up here, the top two all-time favorite prayer requests of young people, and maybe yours too. Number one, what's your prayer request? The unspoken. Okay, I've told you about the unspoken. It means I'm too embarrassed to share it, but God knows my heart. Unspoken. What's your unspoken? Okay, how about you? Unspoken. We're all unspoken. We're not talking about anything. It's all unspoken. Usually had to do with this group of guys and purity, and so it's always unspoken for these dudes over here. But the number two favorite prayer request was clarity. Specifically, clarity about God's will for my life. And it sounded something like this. God, what do you want me to do? Anybody ever asked that question before? God, what do you want me to do? What's my life gonna be about, God? What's your plan for my life? What's my purpose? And it was almost obsessively that always, what's your purpose? What's God's plan? And here's what I've come to realize through being in ministry and being around people and being a young person and coming up. And here's what I wrote down, that the people who are living on purpose and with purpose are the people who have made the decision to focus on God and his plan for their life. That's what I think I've come to realize, that the people who are living on purpose and with purpose are the same people who have made a decision to focus on God and his plan for their life. And I'll say it to you this way. Your purpose is God's plan. God's plan, that's your purpose. Your purpose is God's plan. Your purpose isn't your plan. Your purpose isn't their plan. Your purpose isn't your parents' plan. It's not your favorite influencer's plan. Your purpose is God's plan. And so my hope by the time we leave today is you walk out saying, I have decided to live my life on purpose. I'm gonna be living on God's plan. And it's a decision, by the way. You gotta make that decision, because you're not a product of your circumstances, and you're not a product of your best intentions. Like, I intended to do it. You're not a product of what people say about you or your past experiences. You're a product of your decisions. And so the question that we're asking today is, are you living on purpose? Have you decided to live your life on purpose, focused on God's plan? And you might be thinking, well, Travis, how would I know that? How do I answer that question? How do I know that? Because we got a lot of graduates in the room. Any graduates in at church today? Come on, let's just celebrate the graduates. They did it. Come on now. Try to get that degree, try to graduate, try to make the right decisions. I'm trying to go to the right school and just do the right thing, trying to pick the perfect guy, the perfect girl. Don't mess that up. Come next week for that talk. Trying to make all the right choices and trying to do the right things. Am I living on purpose? And I would say, I don't know. Who came up with the plan? Is it your plan or is it God's plan? Because if it's all your idea and all your plan and God's not in it, I would think that maybe you're getting your potential confused with your purpose. Because you have the potential to do a lot of things. You have the potential to do so many things, but don't get distracted by your potential. Write this down. When I live for the world, I chase my potential. When I live for Jesus, I chase God's purpose. When I live for the world, I'm gonna get the house, hey. I'm gonna get that job. I'm gonna get that person. I'm gonna try to get the likes and the followers, and I'm chasing the world because there's a potential of what I could be and how great I could be. No. But when I chase after Jesus, I live for Jesus, I chase God's purpose. Here's what Proverbs 19:21 says. I love this verse. It says, "You can make many plans, but the Lord's purpose will prevail." Make all the plans you want. Just know that God's purpose is greater. Make all the plans you want. Just know that God's purpose is greater. And I was thinking, how do I illustrate this for you? And so I thought this is probably the easiest way. And this box would represent that my plans, your plans, my marriage plans and my financial plan and my family plan, whatever is your plan. The problem is you can't place your life on your plans. That they weren't built to hold the weight of what God has in store for you. And so every time I try to do it, I say, I'm gonna put my life on all of my plans, my money and my marriage. But every time I try to do that, I just go through it because there's nothing in it, it's empty. Your plans without God are empty. I can't stand on it. I got my foot stuck, come on now. But if I put my life on God's plans and purposes, it's a solid foundation. I can put my weight on it. It has lasting, sustaining weight. Not only can I stand on it as a firm foundation, but I can go higher. and he can take me places. My plans can't do that without God. They're empty, they crumble, they're inconsistent, they're always disappointing. But you put your life in the hands of God, I can stand on it without fear of failure. My life is in God's hands. Come on, clap your hands if you believe that God has a plan and a purpose. There's a man in scripture, his name was Saul. Later he'd become Paul. He knew all about the difference between his plans and God's great purpose. And if you got your Bible with you, go to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9, I'm gonna read the first nine verses, verses 1-9. And I'll tell you, as you're turning there, who this man was. Saul was a Pharisee. And all that meant was that he earned his way into this religious sect by studying and doing good things and living the perfect holy life. And at least he thought he did. But he hated Christians. In fact, he would go around trying to arrest these Christians at any chance he got. And so in this story, he's gone to get permission to arrest Christians and harass them. And then he has an encounter with the living God. He encounters Jesus and everything changes about his life. Picking up in verse 1, Acts chapter 9, it says, "Then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked for letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found anyone who were of the way," everybody say the way. The way. I want you to underline that in your Bible, circle it. "If he found anyone who were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem." I think it's interesting that in this time, followers of Jesus weren't known by the name Christian. They weren't called Christians just yet. They didn't happen until later in Antioch, another church. But at this point in their life, followers of Jesus were known by the direction that they lived their life. So I don't live that way. I have pointed my life the way. They were known by the way that they lived their life. And so picking up in verse 3, "As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground, and he heard a voice saying to him, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?' And he said, 'Who are you, Lord?' And the Lord said, 'I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting.'" Now watch this sentence. "It is hard for you to kick against the goads." Oh, you guys know what that means clearly, right? It's easy. Jesus, what are you saying? Like, I know that you're the creator of the universe. You knew all things, but can you speak in normal language? What does that mean? "It is hard for you, Saul, to kick against the goads." Well, it turns out a goad is like a long stick. On one end of it, it was a blunt end. On the other end of it was a sharp tip. And a farmer would take a goad, and if his oxen who was plowing went left or right in the wrong way, the farmer would take the goad and it would hit the ox, or most of the time, he would stick or poke the ox with the pointy end. And every now and then, the ox who was grumpy, I don't know if an ox sounds like that. I just made that noise. I don't know what an ox sounds like. That's a horse. I don't know. Anyways, the farmer would poke the ox, and if the ox was really frustrated and determined and stubborn to go their way, it would kick against the goad. It would kick against the pointy end of the stick, and the pointy end would stick into the ox, hurting the ox and taking him off his track even further. And so Jesus is telling Paul, who was still Saul, "I'm trying to get you to live on purpose, to live by plan. You keep living in the wrong direction. And the more that you do it, the more stubborn you are about your way and your idea and your plans, you're hurting yourself and you're hurting others." And so in verse 6, it keeps reading, "So he trembled and astonished, said, 'Lord,'" here's the million-dollar question, "'what do you want me to do? If not this, then what?'" If this was my plan and you have something better, the million-dollar question we're all asking today is, "Lord, what's my purpose? What do you want me to do with my life? What do you want me to do?" "Then the Lord said to him, 'Arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do.' And the men who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no one. Then Saul arose from the ground, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no one. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus, and he was 3 days without sight." He was blind and neither ate nor drank. And so Saul still at this point was living life for himself, a selfish life, a destructive life. And then in a moment, he has an encounter with Jesus and he makes the decision to turn his life towards purpose, towards the plans of God. And so I want to give you some practical handles today so that you know how to live your life on purpose. How do we do that? And I think it starts by making a few decisions. And so here's four decisions to help you live on purpose. If you're a note taker, write this down. Number one, I have decided to accept my God-given destiny. If I'm going to live on purpose, take my life from where it was to where God wants me to be in his direction, because my purpose is his plan. I want to be where God has me, a solid foundation. I have to accept, decide to accept my God-given destiny. And Ephesians 1 verse 11 says, through our union with Christ, we too have been claimed by God as his own inheritance. Before we were born, when? Before. So not like today, he didn't just dream this up. Or he's not thinking about it tomorrow. No, before you were born, he gave us our destiny that he would fulfill the plan of God who always accomplishes every purpose and plan in his heart. And so it's his plan and it's always been God's plan. When I was 18, I graduated high school. My buddy was going on a cruise and his family was going. My parents said, hey, why don't you're graduating, go on this little cruise to Mexico. Anybody been on a cruise before? That's like the bargain of the century right there. All you can eat, pizza, and then the little soft serve ice cream, just at 12 o'clock at night. What do you want to do? You get some soft serve? Let's go. It's open. It's open. You said, holla right here. Yeah. It's a deal. It's a bargain. So we were going to Mexico, four destinations. Going to go to Mazatlan, Puerto Vallarta, Cabo, and the Catalina Islands. Four locations. I'd never been on a cruise before. In fact, I'd never been to any of those destinations in Mexico. But I do remember that right before we all had to get our stuff and get on the boat, there was like a loud horn. I think I did it twice. I'm not lying. And the horn is to let everybody know, hey, if you're not coming on the trip, go home. If you're getting on the ship, time to get on. Then they did it twice. Hey, here's the warning horn. Here's the official horn. Okay, I'm getting on the ship. You know what I didn't do? I never once thought to myself, before we leave, I should probably go talk to the captain to make sure that he knows the right route to get to our destination. Probably just go confirm that he knows that I know the right way to go. I never thought about that. Like, well, he should probably consult me first, right? Because I'm on the ship. No, I just assumed before we got there and before we left that there was somebody that had a good plan. There's somebody that thought about the journey. Someone that thought about all the people that were on the boat, and they got the food, and they got the entertainment, they got the first aid kit, they got the emergency life vest in case of a heaven forbid sinking ship. They thought about all these things, and I feel like today God is telling some of us, stop trying to play captain, and just trust me that I have made a plan. Way before you got here, way before you even thought about this job or that girl or that guy or before you lost the job, just know I'm the captain and I've been thinking about you this whole time. I got a plan for your life. Do you want to get on? Ephesians 2 verse 10 says, for we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do good things that he planned for all of us long, long ago. Before any of us were created, God had a plan for you. He called you. And the invitation today is to say, hey, do you want to get on? Do you want to accept this beautiful plan that I have for you, this destiny? Because if you want to live on purpose, you have to decide to accept that God has a plan, a purpose, a destiny for you. It's better than yours. Here's the second thing we got to decide. I have decided to eliminate unhealthy distractions. If I'm going to live on purpose, God's plan, then I have to decide to eliminate unhealthy distractions. Hebrews 12:1 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. So Hebrews says, God has a race for you, but you can't run the race unless you get rid of that stuff that's entangling you. God's planned something for you, but you can't run that plan and live that purpose unless you get rid of the things that trip you up. The other day, it was Friday, my wife and I went and had dinner with some friends of ours, and usually she'll ask me to get Levi dressed, and you know he's running around, it's hard to wrangle down and put in gel in his hair, the whole thing, brush the teeth. And I remember being on the couch, and I'm supposed to be getting him ready, but I found a video on Instagram of a little baby pig living in a guy's house in a giant igloo. And I said, look at this pig. What is this? Let me just look at this for a second. I'll be right there, 1 second. And I'm looking at this pig, and 20 minutes later, as I'm scrolling about all this this pig's life, I found out it's a warthog. It's a giant warthog. In fact, his name's Wallace. I learned about his whole life. I went back and said, let me see Wallace when he was a baby. Look at him. Man, found out he was an orphan. Crazy, right? Found out how he got his name. Had to keep scrolling to the other videos of this man and his warthog named Wallace that lived in the kitchen in a giant igloo. I thought, this is crazy. Let me see this. He had a birthday? Oh, look at that cake. That's amazing. Just 20 minutes later, turns out that his owner adopted him. There was two little baby warthogs. One of them died, didn't make it, but this one was brave and made it. And so he named him Wallace because the owner loved the movie Braveheart, and William Wallace was brave. And he goes, I'm gonna name him Wallace. And so Wallace the warthog, I'm like, this is amazing. Wallace is incredible. 20 minutes later, I'm on Instagram, wasting my life away, watching videos of baby pigs. How many know if the devil can't defeat you, he'll distract you? If he can't tear you down, he's gonna take your time. If the devil can't defeat you, he'll distract you. If he can't take you down, he'll take your time. I love this quote by a friend of mine, Pastor Greg Hendricks. He says, distractions are the destruction of God's plan for your life in slow motion. I love that. I'm gonna say it again because it's good. He says, distractions are the destruction of God's plan for your life in slow motion, just little by little. So what are you watching that's distracting you? What activities are you a part of that are pulling you away from God's plan for your life? What relationships, are you a part of and you keep hanging? Got a bunch of people out here just monkey barring. You know what monkey barring is? Remember there've been the monkey bars? You just swing from one to the next. And you're out here hanging on to this relationship, knowing that you're supposed to let go so you can get to the next, but you won't let go until you see the next. And I'm monkey barring this relationship. It's a distraction. I can't get to purpose because I got this person. God said, I got to eliminate these distractions. I have a race that I've marked out for you, but you can't run it unless you get this stuff off you. There's areas in your life that are slowing you down. There's a person in your inner circle that is distracting you. There's a secret sin that your family doesn't know about. All of those are distractions pulling you away from your purpose. But if you today have finally decided that this is the day, I've decided that I'm going to live my life on purpose, then first, we have to accept the fact that we have a God-given destiny. He's got a great plan, and he's calling me towards it. And number two, I have to eliminate unhealthy distractions. Here's the third thing. I'm gonna decide to live my life on purpose. I'll decide to practice daily spiritual disciplines. Practice daily spiritual disciplines. I've decided that because I want to live on purpose. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 says, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. So when you live a disciplined life, it points me to God. That's the whole purpose. It points me to the will of God, to the plans of God. I love how the psalmist writes it in chapter 1, the first two verses. He writes, blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his ways, his law, day and night. And so the psalmist is saying, blesses the person who's disciplined enough to resist walking with the wicked, walking in the way of sinners, and then blesses the person who thinks about and meditates on the ways of God every single day. It's day and it's night. I'm thinking about Jesus in the morning and I'm focused on prayer in the evening, and I wake up and I'm thinking about scripture at lunchtime, and then at nighttime I'm reflecting again in worship. I was thinking of something that I always expect to be good at but never practice. The first thing that came to my mind was ice skating, because I'll ice skate like once a year. And I always think that, oh yeah, I'm about to do this double axel right now. Haven't been here since last year. But in my mind, I'm about to triple lutz, bam, about to spin this thing. And right, you ever just like, because you can think it, I can do it. You ever do that? That's me, like, oh, I saw it on YouTube, I can do it. I can do all things through YouTube who gives me strength, right? Just like, if I watch it, I can do it. But maybe even worse than that is bowling. Because bowling is like maybe once a year because the arcade and my kids want to go. And so, but I think I'm pretty coordinated and I definitely have the look down. Anybody have the look down? I feel like we all have the look. Like, if no one was watching where the ball went and the score, you may think I'm pro. Because I got the posture, I'm wearing the shoes, I got the look, and I step, 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 ha. It's pretty good. It's pretty good. I think it's pretty good. I think it's pretty good. When I went bowling, I'm thinking, man, I think 200 is possible. And to shoot 200, you got to get a lot of strikes to shoot 200. Turns out shooting 100 is very difficult. 100 is very, very hard. It's crazy to think that I can just show up somewhere without practice and think I'm going to figure it out and do it well. But isn't it wild that we think that I don't have to practice the ways of God and somehow I'm going to know the will of God? I'm not going to practice prayer, but I sure hope to hear from him. I'm not going to worship God and be in his presence, but I sure hope to feel him. I'm not going to read his word, but I sure hope to get a revelation today. How am I supposed to do that? Your purpose is God's plan. I got to make a decision to live that life. And so I'm going to decide to practice daily spiritual disciplines. Here's number four. If I'm going to live on purpose, I have to decide to choose a faith-filled direction. I got to decide to choose a faith-filled direction. So Saul goes through this whole experience. Lord, what do you want me to do? God changes his life from his plan to God's purpose. He gets a new name, Paul, becomes one of the most prolific writers of the New Testament, goes on to plant churches and more churches across the modern world, and is given a new name, Paul. And then he writes this as Paul in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." He's saying the way forward to God's plan is a faithful way forward. Requires faith. Before he was Paul, and he was Saul, he was blind for 3 days. Later, God would eventually show him his way forward. But I think, this is my opinion, that he was blind because God was busy building up his faith to live the life that he would eventually live. I think some of us are afraid to live out our purpose. Nervous, afraid, fearful of choosing the wrong direction because you see too much. All I see are obstacles. All I see is a lack of resources. All I see are the past mistakes of what we've come through. And that's all I see. And God is saying, I just want you, by faith, not by sight, to choose a direction. If it honors me and it's done by faith, he can work with that. I'll show you in Romans 8, it says, and we know. We're not questioning, we're not maybe, it's no, we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. So God says, I can work with it. If it's done by faith, trying to honor me with it, you want to live on purpose, then you got to move. You can't just stay here. You got to choose a direction. Oh, I don't want to. You see too much. Build up your faith and say, Lord, I'm going to do it by faith. I won't be afraid of the commitment. I'm not going to be nervous about the next job opportunity. I'm not going to shrink down because of what they told me. But by faith, I'm just going to trust you. And if it's not right, God, I'm leaning on your word that says that you will make all things work together for the good of those who love you, and I love you, and have been called according to your purpose, because I don't want this plan. I want your purpose. I want what you have for me, says the Lord. Aren't you grateful that we serve a God that has a plan for you? Aren't you grateful that we serve a God that no matter what you've been through, no matter what you've done, your mistakes, your wrong decisions, your past failures, he loves you and he chooses you and he's thought about you and he's making a way right now for what happens next year? Aren't you glad that we serve a Savior that says, I thought about you, and for the joy set before me, I will endure the cross. because I'm thinking about what God has in store and it's so good, but you gotta trust me and put your life in my hands. Because your plan has gotta be his plan. Let me end with a story and then we're gonna worship. In 2004, something happened, a phenomenon in Death Valley. If you've been to Death Valley, here's the picture. Death Valley is the hottest place on planet Earth. Gets up to 135 degrees Fahrenheit. It's the driest place in North America, hottest place on Earth. Nothing lives there, you can tell. Nothing's there. Well, in the winter of 2004, 7 inches of rain fell down. And nothing happened right away. But you fast forward to the next spring of 2005, and this happened. It's called a super bloom. It's a phenomenon, never happened before. It's just, everything was dead. Nothing lives there. And there's a lot of us today that you've been living in your own way with your own plans and your own timeline, and it just feels dead. Just like Saul. My life has been feeling dead and like I'm in a dry desert. But if you decide to put your life in God's hands, it can come alive in a moment when you decide, God, I'm not gonna live for me. I'm gonna start living for you. I'm gonna trust you. I have decided I am tired of doing it my way. My plans will be your purpose. And my purpose will be your plans. Would you all stand together with me? I wanna pray for you and we're gonna worship God together. And someone's gonna make a decision today to give their life to Jesus. But if I can encourage you, don't leave. Something happens in the presence of God in worship. God inhabits the praises of his people. Let God do some ministry in your life right now. So Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your scriptures. Thank you for the life of Saul, who was later Paul. And encourage us to live a life of faith, not by what we see, but by what you can do, and we believe you've done before. And so, Lord, we ask you to give us a great purpose for our life. Lord, what do you want us to do? What's my purpose, Lord? It's in your hands. And so we praise you today, and we bless you today, and we thank you that you're a good God, and you're a faithful God. You're a righteous God. You have a plan for our life. You have a purpose for us, God. It's even bigger and better and far beyond what we can ever ask or imagine. And so we worship you and we lift your name on high, the God of all creation. In Jesus' name we pray. Someone shout hallelujah. In Jesus' name, amen.